You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Having the time of your life. This is one of my favorite songs ever. If this song, turn this up. If this song doesn't get to your core, put a smile on your face, make you want to stand up and dance, even if you're naked. I don't know. I don't know what song does. Dancing Queen. That's what it's about on this Saturday morning. We welcome you, and Anita Marks with you here on 98.7 ESPN. We've got Ty and Michael, who are producing the show, back in New York City. I'm coming to you live from my home studio, which I've actually fallen in love with. This is probably my favorite room in my apartment right now. I'm not going to lie about it. I love Finchois, right? Isn't that what it's, are you guys aware of that? Like, you know, are you aware of, like, you hire somebody to come into your apartment, you move into a new home or a new apartment, you hire somebody, you pay them like a gazillion dollars to come in and like kind of tell you where to situate your, like where to put your furniture, where the positive vibes are going to circulate. You never want your bed facing the door. Did you know that? That's Finchois for you right there.
Wait, why is that?
I hope I'm pronouncing it properly. I don't even know.
Why is that?
I don't know. I mean, you're just not supposed, like, it's bad energy. You're not supposed to have your bed facing the entry of your room.
See, growing up, I was always opposed to having my back to the door. And just in case, like, a monster got in, I didn't want him to catch me by surprise.
A monster. Come on. Can we just have this conversation? I love this. I love that this is what happens to our show, right? Like, we always stumble upon stuff that we don't plan to discuss, but we eventually end up discussing. Like, why are men that way? Like, why is it that men do not like to sit in a restaurant or a public place with their backs to the door? Like, just FYI, like, if I'm on a date for the first time, I mentally immediately take the seat that has my back to the door, because I'm just going to assume that the dude I'm with doesn't want his back to the door.
Yeah, you want to have excellent command of the environment and everything that's going on. You want it to be laid out in front of you.
What is that?
It's like going.
What is that?
For us, you know what it is for us? It's like going.
Please explain it, because I don't get it, but I do it.
It would be like going to a sporting event and sitting with your seat turned the other way. Like, there's so much happening in front of you. You got to have your eyes on all of that, what's unfolding, just in case, you know, something goes wrong. You got to see the attack coming. That's what it is for me. And my wife's never understood it, but that's the best way I can explain it.
So just out of curiosity, when you and your wife go to a restaurant,
she knows.
Does your wife, she just immediately assumes, she assumes the position,
yes,
and she takes the seat where her back is to the door.
So much so that we actually went out somewhere last week, and I accidentally, I accidentally sat in a seat where my back was to the environment.
Ooh.
And she's like, oh no, you don't like your back to, you know, to the public. Here's your seat right here. I was like, oh wow, look at you. She understands how it works. She understands the inner workings.
That is, I mean, and listen, and like, full, like, I don't care. Like, to me, I don't, you know, I don't, like, if I'm out with you, it's about you. Like, I'm not out because I, you know, granted, don't get me wrong. One of the most things I miss about this pandemic, I'd put it in my top three besides not being able to see my family, which I'm really excited. I'm going to be heading down to Florida in June, but, is, you know, the social interaction and going out to dinner. I mean, prior to the pandemic, I was out to dinner four nights a week and ordering in another three. So I miss that. But when I'm out to enjoy my friends and not necessarily, you know, people watch. I like people watching at an airport. Not necessarily at a restaurant when I'm there for my friend. But anyway, I know we've derailed.
You gotta watch people, not because you're nosy, but just to make sure everyone's doing what they're supposed to be doing.
And again, I think that's a dude thing. That's my point. Like, I think that's an absolute dude thing.
Well, we're the protectors. We have to, like I said, the best way
like
to
even when
it, have command you know, of the situation.
Well, let's go one step further. And again, I apologize. We've got a great show lined up for everybody. I know we've derailed from the start, but hopefully this is captivating conversation. I'm just curious. So when I go out with like a group of my girlfriends, like no one's fighting for the seat to face the door. Like we're all just like, if anything, like we want to sit next to people who we connect more with or we have more in common with or we haven't seen in a while. So that's the person we want to sit next to so that we'll have more conversation with that individual. Like when you dudes go out together, let's say it's six of you dudes who go out together. Are you guys competing for the seats that face the door? How do you decide on that?
That's a great question. I don't think it matters in that situation.
What? Wait a minute. Wait, time out. So it matters when you're with a chick, but it doesn't matter when you're with your dudes?
Yeah, I've never thought about it that way.
What do you mean you've never thought about it that way?
It just comes more natural when you're with your you know, your significant other. Whereas when you're with your boys and you've corralled a bunch of real estate, it just feels different. Because you're with your boys, it's a lot of y'all.
Yeah, I don't quite understand. All right, let's get back on track. Again, we've got a great show lined up for you. I do want to kick off the show in regard to the announcement for Major League Baseball in regard to them removing their All-Star game from the Atlanta area. Where it will be to be determined. We're going to dive into that. Jeff Passan is going to join us on the show in this first hour. Also, of course, we know tonight is the Final Four, and the four that are remaining, of course, is Houston against Baylor and, of course, UCLA going up against Gonzaga. So those are the four teams still remaining, the Final Four that we'd like to call it, and the two games later on tonight. And, of course, Monday is the national championship. So Tyler Fulgham from Daily Wager, my partner in crime, as well as Dallin Cuff is going to join us on the show, and they'll give us their picks and their plays, hopefully helping everybody win some money. Also, as always, Joe Wiz is always a staple on the show every Saturday around 2:30. So he'll join in as well. And we've got some NBA plays. I'm sure Joe Wiz is going to have some picks in regards to the NBA. You got the Knicks playing tonight. I also want to dive into the Kevin Durant situation that has taken place this week with Michael Rapaport. And full disclosure, I'm friends with Michael. I reached out to Michael. I asked him to join us on the show. And unfortunately, him and his wife are moving this weekend. He said if he was not in the process of moving, he certainly would have called in and joined us. Okay, I'm just letting you know. I have reached out. I gave Michael Rapaport a platform here on 98.7 ESPN to comment in regard to all that has transpired between him and KD. But I do want to dive into that topic as well at the start of the 1 o'clock hour. So we've got great, great guests lined up for you. Also, we've got some golf tournaments that are happening today. The Valero is happening, heading into obviously the third. And of course, tomorrow will be the fourth round. We'll preview some Masters for you. The Masters kicks off on Thursday. Really excited about that. Really excited about the fact that On the Tee with Anita Marks, golf show back in action tomorrow, 8 a.m. We're really excited about it. So that's back in action on Sunday as well. So we've got a lot going on. There's a lot that we're going to dive into. But first and foremost, before we take a break, let's line this up. Let's tee this up for everybody. And also we'll open up the phone lines, because I am curious to hear from folks and their thoughts in regards to the decision for Major League Baseball. So just FYI, if you don't know, Atlanta, and the state of Georgia, not thrilled in regard to the voting results that took place this year in politics, right? So they're trying to change their voting laws and restrictions in regard to voting access for minorities, where, you know, you no longer can mail in ballots. And keep in mind, I mean, access to voting areas in the urban communities is few and far between. So understand that the laws that now have been implemented and that are in place now are prohibiting and making it more difficult for minorities to vote. Okay. And that's, I mean, that is a fact. Okay. That is a fact. There's nothing to argue there. Now, in response to those laws changing, Major League Baseball has come out and said, you know what? We're not thrilled that you did this. We're going to take our All-Star game. We're going to take our balls and we're going to go somewhere else. Where are they going to go? We don't know yet. Could they go to San Diego? That's an option. Can they go to Milwaukee? You know, I think if you, and I'm going to ask Jeff Passan where he thinks it's going to land. But if I was a wagering woman, and of course, you know, I am, and there is not a prop bet in regard to where this is going to land. But if I was a wagering woman, I would put my money on either San Diego or Milwaukee. That's where I think it'll land. 2022, it is in Los Angeles, but it's already been reported that they're not willing to. It's at the Dodger Stadium, of course, but they're not willing to move that up one more year. So, you know, we're and keep in mind, there are beyond Atlanta, there are other cities in the country that are as well are trying to implement these new voting laws that, it, again, is going to restrict voting access for minorities. That is the point. That is the decision. That is the process. That is what is happening here. And so there's other cities. So keep in mind, those other cities, the, you know, those cities, I'm sure as well, because this decision was made by Major League Baseball, Major League Baseball isn't going to go from Atlanta, one city that now has restricted voting access for minorities, and implement it in another. So that's why I think it'll probably end up in either San Diego or Milwaukee. Again, just my two cents. But a few things here. You know, obviously, legislators in Atlanta are up in arms, very disappointed. Obviously, the Atlanta Braves are very disappointed. In fact, earlier today, I downloaded the press release from Atlanta, and I want to read. Actually, I'm going to read this. I'm going to read two statements for you before we go to break. Number one is, this is a statement from the 2021 MLB All-Star Game. The Players Alliance stands unified in support of Major League Baseball's decision to move the 2021 All-Star Game out of the state of Georgia during the pivotal time of racial turmoil and inequality. We want to make our voice heard loud and clear in our opposition of the recent Georgia legislation that not only disenfranchises the black community, but also paves the way for other states to pass harmful laws based largely on the widespread falsehoods of disinformation. While we support those in need of whichever city the game is ultimately relocated to, we will uphold our commitment to those Georgians we've already planned to serve. We use our voice, our platform, and our partnership now more than ever to create real, tangible change for the black community to stand up for every American's right to vote. We will not be silenced. We won't back down for the fight of racial equality. We will never stop breaking barriers to the ballot box. And this is from the Players Alliance. Here's the press release from the Atlanta Braves. We are deeply disappointed by the decision of Major League Baseball to move its All-Star game. This was neither our decision or in the recommendation, and we're saddened that the fans will not be able to see this event in our city. The Braves organization will continue to stress the importance of equal voting opportunities, and we had hoped our city could use this event as a platform to enhance the discussion. Our city has always been known for unity in divided times, and we will miss the opportunity to address issues that are important to our community. Unfortunately, business, employees, and fans in Georgia are the victims of this decision. We will continue to support the community legacy projects which have been planned and are in the process. You know, I know I'm not, you know, breaking news here, and I'm not educating people. I mean, you know, Atlanta is, you know, a huge, huge African-American society and community. And so I understand, you know, the press release in regards to the Atlanta Braves and what they're saying. You know, could this All-Star event in game allow a stage and a voice to address this situation even more so? Yes. But here's the thing, and this is what I brought up and with Ty prior, of course, Ty and Michael, who are producing the show, prior to us starting the show, and that is, I'm not going to use the word shocked, okay? But I am a little surprised that Major League Baseball that this was the decision from Major League Baseball. Why? Because there is not a large presence of African-American athletes in Major League Baseball. Let's be honest. I mean, this has been an issue, right? How do we get African-American athletes to start playing more baseball? Why isn't? Why are there so many Latinos, right? I mean, look around the landscape. Look at the percentage of the Major League Baseball players. And it's you know, the majority of the African-American athlete is going into the NFL and going into the NBA, not Major League Baseball. So is this something that I could see the NBA doing? Absolutely. 100%. This is so up their avenue. This is so what they do. For Major League Baseball, no pun intended, to step up to the plate and make this type of decision, when the majority of their players don't represent what this fight is about, I think speaks volumes. I really do. And love or hate Rob Manfred, I personally commend him for this decision. It's out of their wheelhouse. At the end of the day, it's out of their wheelhouse. And the fact that Major League Baseball did this, I can see the NFL, I can see the NBA, but the fact that Major League Baseball made this decision and is making this move is somewhat surprising to me. Not going to lie about it. Will this help change? I don't know. Keep in mind, as we know, LeBron James, investor, part owner of the Boston Red Sox, and I'm drawing a blank right now, quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, part owner of the Kansas City Royals. So, I mean, is there ownership involved with some big names in our wide, wide world of sport? Absolutely. LeBron James went to Twitter, was absolutely thrilled with this decision that Major League Baseball is taking their All-Star game out of Atlanta.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
I just want to share with you some of the changes, okay, that has been made in regard to Atlanta. Okay, I'm just going to roll through a few of them, okay? Most counties will see expansions in early voting dates and hours, okay? So, which is great. Early voting from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. during the week, Monday through Friday. It could open as early. Some places could open as early as 7 a.m. Some could stay as late as 7 p.m. Saturday voting, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., which is great. Voters have to provide identification information to vote in absentee. Georgia previously conducted signature matching by comparison. Okay. So obviously now you have to bring some ID. Here's some of the negatives. They shorten the window to request an absentee ballot. Voters now can request an absentee ballot starting 11 weeks before the election and ending 11 days before the election. Okay. So the period of time of requesting an absentee ballot has shortened. Here's the big one. Okay. And that is drop boxes are now permanent, but only available at certain locations and during limited times. And again, you're talking about a reduced ballot access in the urban communities. This is the biggest problem here, is that now there's a number of drop boxes that are going to be strategically placed where, you know, it's going to be difficult for a lot of the minorities in these urban communities to get their absentee ballots into. Okay, that's a problem. That's a big problem. I don't quite understand. Ballot selfies are banned. I don't quite understand that. Prohibits voters from taking a photo of voting machines or their absentee ballot. I don't quite understand that. You know, we should be, listen, voting is a privilege. It's a gift. And somebody who votes, you should be thrilled with, right? Like one of the big parts, I know this sounds trivial, but you know, I love going to vote and I ask for the sticker. One time I went, I voted here in Hoboken and they didn't have the stickers. I said, what do you mean you don't have the stickers? I came to vote for the sticker. So I want to get the sticker. I know it's so trivial, but you know, when I was able to get a sticker. I got a sticker. I took a selfie. I posted it. It made me feel good. I don't understand the whole no selfies. That's just ridiculous. There's some other, you know, can't give out water or food for folks that we know standing in line for 5, 6, 7 hours. Just ridiculous. But really, the biggest problem here, again, is the fact that there's going to be strategic areas for drop boxes. And those areas are going to limit a lot of the minorities in regard to the urban communities. And that's really what the big issue here is. Probably there's a lot of issues in the new laws, but that's probably the biggest. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Bob in Connecticut. Bob, you're up. Welcome in.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon.
I heard your piece on, or at least your opinion on the Major League Baseball's decision. I agree that I'm a bit surprised. It seems a bit out of character for Major League Baseball to do something that makes sense. And I also agree that we should commend them. What I disagree with, actually, is your rationale for it. You suggested that you're surprised because there's not a lot of African Americans currently representing the Major League Baseball. Disenfranchising voters is not a black, white, African-American, not African-American issue. We should all be outraged, no matter what race you are, if there's any laws that potentially disenfranchise voters. Now, you mentioned that voting is a privilege. It's a right. It's actually not a privilege. We have a
Bob,
right to
Bob,
vote.
Totally, Bob, totally agree with you. Totally agree with you.
I know you do, but I know you agree with me, and we're on the same side.
Maybe it was lost. Maybe it was lost in translation, Bob. In that, a lot of times when we see a sport and a commissioner make a move on something, it's typically because its athletes are behind the move. A lot of times, teams, organizations, leagues try to stay out of this lane. Let's be honest, Bob. They try to stay out of this lane. And so that's my point, is that they are so in this lane that they are leading this caravan without the majority of their players being African American. And so I commend them on that. I'm just saying. It's just like this is a move that I would expect the NBA or the NFL to make prior to Major League Baseball, because again, it's and you're right. It's not just a minority issue. You know, you're right in what you're coming to the table with. My point is, I'm a little surprised that Major League Baseball has taken this lead. That's my point, Bob.
Yep. I agree. And I just wanted to point out the importance of this issue for everyone. So thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Let's go to Danny. Danny in Long Island. Danny, you're up.
Good morning, Anita. I hope I don't speak too fast. When I get my Irish up, I tend to ramble on. Listen, 3 years ago, the state of Georgia, in a national commission by the federal government, was decided as the third worst voter records, least control over their elections. So they went about changing it. The changes that were instituted this week brought them in line verbatim with 23 other states in the country as far as when you can get it, what kind of ID you have to show, including the great state of Delaware. I singled that on purpose. Okay? The state of Delaware has identical voter ID laws as far as getting absentee ballots. The pandemic just brought into view how insane the absentee ballot is, that you can actually walk in. I had somebody actually hand me an absentee ballot, and I could put anything I want on it, and I could just put it in. So it is a right. It is an absolute right and cherished right. And because it is, we have to make sure only those people who are able to vote can vote. Now, as far as the drop boxes, you're aware that absentee ballots go in the mail. Is there any shortage of mail in certain parts of the country? Because if you give me an absentee ballot a month from now, Danny, that's not true.
Danny, time out. That's not true. Because I voted with an absentee ballot. I had to drop it off at an absentee ballot location. I couldn't drop it off in the mail. Could not drop it off in the mail, Danny.
But that is your state. In New York State, we could. And so, again, the right of the state of Georgia to run their own elections is their right. Now, like I said, if Major League Baseball now cannot put this All-Star game in a state that requires you to present an ID. First of all, 80% of the people in this country think you should present some sort of ID. I have a son of the last name of me who, when I went to vote one day, the 80-year-old person had me sign on his line. And the only reason we knew that is because when my son went to go vote for him, he basically said, someone already voted for me. So most people believe you should present an ID to vote. It is our most cherished right.
But Danny, I don't think again. And I appreciate your phone call. I'm up against a break, and I have Jeff Passan who's waiting to join us, and I'm going to continue to take the calls, folks. But I don't, the signature isn't the biggest issue. Again, the biggest issue is that you're and again, let's talk about communities, right? Like I said, Atlanta's a huge African American community, huge, and. You know, and you've got some major urban areas. And the fact that those urban areas, that there's going to be reduced ballot access in, I think that's the biggest issue here. I mean, I know there's a laundry list of things that are on the change and in this bill. But I think the biggest thing is, you know, again, as the first caller said, you know, we're blessed to vote, right? I mean, minorities, women, something we weren't able to do from the get-go. It's a right, and we're blessed to do it. And you should want the majority. Here's my take. Every state should want to make it easy for the largest amount of people to be able to vote. Not prohibit, but make it easier, not more difficult, for your entire community and the communities within your country, within your state, to vote. And again, it's if you look at all the stipulations, it's evident that what's going on in Atlanta, it's prohibiting that.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
There we go. Okay. Don't do me crazy. Okay.
Little DMX and Aaliyah for you.
You know what a dog needs.
Tell me what a dog needs. A dog needs a. But a real just to hold that dog down. DMX, Aaliyah from Romeo Must Die. Do what I gotta do. Keep it true. Oh my gosh. Walk down memory lane. Oh boy. Ty and Michael are producing the show back in New York City. Michael, you've never seen Romeo Must Die. That is a must watch for you, my friend. First and foremost, Godspeed. God bless Aaliyah. We were blessed. I know it was a short period of time that she was here. But one of my favorite artists, and she left us way too soon, and a very, very sad day, when she passed away, if we all recall, plane accident. She was, filming something in the Bahamas, and she was on one of those seaplanes, and they put too much luggage on one side of the plane. And unfortunately the plane crashed, and, she left us way too soon. And, so that was a song that she did with DMX for the movie Romeo Must Die that she starred in. And the reason I'm sharing this with you is because unfortunate news, reports are that DMX, TMZ is reporting that DMX has been hospitalized because of a drug overdose, and unfortunately is not looking good. So from all of us here at 98.7 ESPN, our prayers and our thoughts and our wishes, and positive ones, obviously, go out to DMX and his family, in hoping that that he gets through this. So, but Michael, if you have not seen, which you told me in the break, you've not seen Romeo Must Die, that is a must watch. a must watch. By the way, there's a golf tournament happening right now. It is the Valero Texas Open. Tringali is at the top of the leaderboard at 9 under. Jordan Spieth is just 2 shots back at 7 under. Matt Wallace is at 7 under as well. I want to share with you, I'm going to give you some plays here really quick before we bring in Joe Wiz, who's going to be joining us in the next segment. I like Matt Wallace here. You could wager that Matt Wallace is going to win this tournament at plus 750, and he's just 2 shots back. I like the way that his iron play is. I want to say he's got anywhere between 2 to 3 strokes gained on approach because of his iron play. And, I just, with all the respect to Spieth, I know he's had a good season so far. Until he could win that tournament, I just don't have faith in him, especially when it comes to Sundays. So Matt Wallace is my play here this weekend to win the Valero. And again, he's 2 shots back, and you could get him to win. Those odds right now are at plus 750. And there's some plus odds as well for him to finish in the top 5 and top 10. And also, actually, I'll go one step further. For him to be at the top of the leaderboard at the end of the day today, you can get it plus 550, by the way, at plus 550. We just heard from Tyler Fulghum as well as Dallin Cuff. My plays in this tournament, I do like Baylor. I like Baylor -2 in the first half. Also, I'm going to tease Baylor down to +1, and I'm going to tease them down with Gonzaga. And I'm going to tease Gonzaga down to -8. I'm also going to play Gonzaga team over 79.5. You get that at minus 129. So those are my plays today in the games. My favorite two prop bets are Gordon, like I said, over 7.5 rebounds. He's had 10 in each of his last two games, and you could get that at plus 105. And my other one is Ayayi, and that's in the second game with Gonzaga. He's just been a rebounding fiend. And that over-under is at 6.5, and so the over is at minus 134. So I'm on 2 rebounding prop plays in each game, and those are my favorite prop bets in each game. And of course, I just told you I'm going to play a tease as well as a Gonzaga team total over of 79.5, and also Baylor in the first half at -2. Those are my plays. Without further ado, Joe Wiz on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by PlaySugarHouse.com and by Infinity of Inglewood in New Jersey. Joe, welcome in. How you doing this Saturday afternoon?
Hi, you need a great show. I'm glad to have be on tonight.
Thrilled to have you. Before we get started with all your picks, because there's so much going on now, right? It's like where do I put my money? Why don't you let the listeners out there know exactly when you are on the airwaves here on 98.7 ESPN? Where can they find you?
Friday nights at midnight, right after your show on Fridays, and of course Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. to start out the day. I have 60 minutes of all the games. We break down everything in basketball, and of course golf coming up with the Masters. And great to have your lead in on Friday nights, and hopefully we can make some money for people.
All right, let's do it. That's what we're in the business for, right? Is to make money for people. let's start with March Madness and the two games tonight. What's your favorite play heading into both the games later on this evening?
Well, you got the first game taking on Baylor playing Houston. The public perception, again, is on Baylor. We know all about the Baylor Bears. There's not much more we can say about them other than that the bookmakers aren't dumb. They know what the line is, and they haven't moved the line. The line is a solid 5 everywhere. The total is hedged a little bit, half a point here and there. But take a look at it. Houston, they're the top team in the country in defensive field goal percentages, and they're getting 5 points. Number one criteria for me, Anita, is I go with the team that has the better defense. I think Houston +5 is the play here, and it wouldn't even shock me if they won the game outright.
Really?
Why would it be a shocker? Houston has a great defense. Their record's 28-3. Baylor, they're good, and we know what they've done against Arkansas and over Wisconsin, but the line is 5. Houston has a very good defense. If they can control the tempo of this game and keep it a low-scoring game, and then when there's one or two minutes left and the score is 61-60, all of a sudden people are like, oh, my God, what did I do?
I think here's where I think people are a little concerned in regard to being on the Cougar side, and that is their road to the Final Four is hands down was the easiest road. I mean, Cleveland State, Rutgers, Syracuse, Oregon State. You know, probably the most difficult road, to be honest with you, is UCLA. I feel USA coming out of that region with Alabama and Michigan and FSU. Whoa. So I think that's where the red flag is who has Houston played compared to Baylor? And also, you know, Baylor kind of getting back into form pre-COVID. So I think that's where the concern is.
There's no doubt, and obviously Baylor deserves to be the favorite. They're one of the number one seeds. They're 26-2, and you know their only two losses came after the COVID issue when they lost at Kansas, and they lost in the Big 12 tournament game against Oak State. I mean, you can make a million cases for Baylor. It's hard to make a case on the dog with Houston because they do play in the AAC. It's an inferior conference. I mean, let's face it, they should have lost to Rutgers. Oregon State had him on the ropes. It was 55-55 with three and a half minutes remaining in the game. But again, I just feel the pedigree here with the defense. I think this could, if Kelvin Sampson, who is a very good head coach, if he can control the tempo here, if it's a high scoring game, then you got Houston's going to have a problem. But if we see this game in the 50s and the 60s late in the game, you know that you're going to be alive here. You'll know right off the bat within the first 5 or 10 minutes whether or not Houston's going to control the tempo. If they keep it low scoring, they have a shot to win this game outright, and I'm taking the 5 points.
Okay, listen, God bless you. I mean, you and I are always on the same page in regards to we love taking the points. We hate laying the double digits, that's for sure.
Wait till we get to the next game. Go ahead. I'll be ready for you.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, exactly. I was opening the door. I'm going to run right through it. Gonzaga, double digits, lane 14. But let's be honest. They've won 27 straight by double digits. How are you playing Gonzaga and UCLA, Joe?
There's only one way to go in this game, and that's to take the 14.5 points here. We know about Gonzaga. We know that they're unbeaten. The bookmakers aren't dumb either. You and I both know that. Gonzaga's played a couple of tough games during the season. They beat Kansas, West Virginia, and Virginia, but they still play in a very weak conference, in the West Coast Conference. They play Pepperdine, Pacific, Dixie State, Loyola Marymount. These are all teams here. UCLA, the Pac-12 has demonstrated they're one of the best conferences in all of college basketball, and the Bruins already beat Michigan. Again, they slowed the tempo down, and they showed they could run with Alabama. Everybody and their grandmother is betting the favorite this game here. Not so fast, my friends. Double digits here. There's a lot of points here. I know that they've won 29 of 30 games by double digits, but what if they win by 11 or 12? You cannot lay 14 points. I know everybody has been listening to your show last night. I've been listening to it this morning. I'm trying to get people to get off this playing this big favorite here. I don't want them to go and spend their hard-earned money and playing these big favorites here because both of these favorites are not going to win. One of them is going to cover, if not both of them. And I actually like UCLA plus 14 more than I like Houston.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. So then how do you feel about a two-team teaser with both dogs? How do you feel about teasing Houston up to plus 11? Plus 12, right? Well, no, plus 11. And then teasing UCLA up to plus 20.
Well, listen, I don't like playing teasers, but obviously if you do play the teasers, it just makes the investment better. But Houston has a chance of winning the game outright, so I'm taking plus 5, and I'm taking the money line at plus 200. I think that they have a legitimate shot to win the game outright. I think it's going to be low scoring. Kelvin Sampson's going to control the tempo of this game here, and I think if they can play better, they haven't done well from three-point range in the tournament. They're only shooting 18 of 58. I think if they play better, they play like they did against Syracuse, they could beat Baylor. And UCLA, the line's too high. It's 14. I don't think you need any more than that. 14.5, I'll be happy to take the 14.5. The line is too high. The line is inflated. We've seen what Gonzaga does. Everybody and their grandmother is betting Gonzaga like it's over. I was at FanDuel yesterday over at the Meadowlands. Everybody here, Gonzaga, Gonzaga, Gonzaga. I didn't hear one person tell me they like UCLA. I was the only person. I was hiding under the counter, you know, putting in a small wager on UCLA there.
You were hiding under the... How about this? This is the one play that I really, really like in this game. That's Gonzaga team total over 79.5, and you can get that at minus 129.
I can see that. I can definitely see that. That's definitely a good wager there. I'm comfortable with my 14.5, and that's all I'm making on this play in this game here is, you know, I think that UCLA, you're going to see a tempo here. I think Cronin's going to figure out a way to try and slow down Gonzaga, just like Houston and Baylor. But I think UCLA, if they have a shot, you know, pulling the upset's probably not going to happen. But I think of staying within the number, they want to keep it a slugfest like they did against Michigan. They certainly don't want the tempo to be like they did against Alabama. And again, they did beat Alabama, and they did beat Michigan, and they do have a tougher conference strength. And there's only one team in this Final Four that has cut down the nets to school history, and that is the Bruins. They had the pedigree.
Interesting. And you know me, I'm all about the prop bets. I like the over and rebounds in both these games. And Ayayi has been making me a lot of money each and every game. I take the over and rebounds for him. He's a magnet. When it comes to rebounds, and the over-under is at 6.5, and you get that at -134, probably my favorite prop bet that's out there, Joe.
Yeah, and those prop bets are very tough. You know, I know you do a great job at them. And that's like I told you last week and weeks prior to that. People making prop bets, you got to be very careful. It seems like an easy thing to just go bet them. I know you do your time and put in your due diligence, and it requires a lot of time and energy on them. My specialty is the games and the dogs. That's generally what I like to do. I play some small favorites, but as far as the game, I'm on UCLA plus the 14.5. I just feel it's too high, Anita. And as far as people thinking that Gonzaga is one of the greatest college basketball teams of all time, I don't see it. And then playing in this West Coast Conference, if Gonzaga played in the Big Ten or the Big 12 during a regular season, do you think they would be unbeaten? Absolutely not.
Good stuff, Joe. I'll tell you, everybody's zagging. You're zigging. No pun intended. And again, Joe brought to you, Joe Wiz and his segments here on Saturday with me, brought to you by PlaySugarHouse.com. Redeem your free Pro Football Profit Boost every week. Simply log in and receive 50% profit boost to use on any Pro Football game. This offer is open to current and new PlaySugarHouse.com bettors. Visit PlaySugarHouse.com for full details. Must be located in New Jersey, 21 years or older. Gambling problem? Make sure you call 1-800-GAMBLER. And also by Infinity of Inglewood in New Jersey. They pride themselves on serving every customer with courtesy when they're shopping for a new or used Infinity car or SUV. Call 201-500-1754 or visit infinityofinglewood.com. Joe, thank you so much. Really appreciate you, and good luck tonight.
There we go. Those dogs will be barking, Anita.
Woo, woo. My dogs haven't. Hey, guys, where are my dogs? We haven't heard my dogs all show. Joe, take care. Enjoy the games later on.
Thank you.
You got it. That's Joe Wiz. Where are my dogs? What are they doing? Michael, Ty, we haven't heard my dogs all in my door's open. It's kind of cracked a little bit. My door's not like totally shut. They're just, we haven't heard from them. I'm going to check on them in the break, make sure they're okay. Kind of weird.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.